We would like to advise that the following program may contain adult themes, occasional nudity, and language that may offend some listeners.
Thank God it's...
And welcome to the Lindley Evans studio here at the ABC and Ultimo for another edition of Thank God It's Friday. I'm Richard Glover, and please welcome our panel. It's Chris Ryan, Tommy Dean, and Gary Eck. Yeah. And with the music, it's Phil Burton. And of course, our lovely audience this week from Illabo, Tuncurry, Coffs Harbour, Old Bar, Orange, and Petersham. Yeah. But first, here as always, is the news from nowhere. I've been inspired by the Women's World Cup. I now believe that in life, as in football, there should be extra time. In the World Cup, when play was suspended, they added the time back on at the end. We all saw that, didn't we? Why can't life be like that? Why can't we be given back the time in which play was delayed through no fault of our own? As in soccer, you'd never be quite sure of the amount of extra time you'd accumulated right up until the moment it was announced. Good news, Richard, an attentive nurse would say, adding up the figures as she stood at my bedside. It looks like you have an extra 2.5 years. That's great, I'd say, leaping from my bed like a young gazelle. Just as in a soccer match, a fresh energy would come with the declaration of extra time. The airline industry, of course, would be a major contributor to the scheme. That time you were left overnight in Brisbane due to a refuelling issue, you'd get it back. Those 16 hours stuck in Dubai after the Qantas stuffed up your connection, it would be returned to your account. This, in turn, would reduce stress during so many of life's difficult moments. Oh, God, still 7 hours to go, your partner might complain as she attempts to find a comfy spot on the vinyl couch in Dubai Airport. Don't worry, darling, you'd be able to reply. It all just adds up to extra time. When you're 95 years old and lying on your deathbed, you'll be wishing we'd be stuck here by Qantas longer. Of course, for the scheme to operate properly, you'd have to be given sufficient health to enjoy this new lease of life. It'd be no good having an extra 16 hours if you were just lying there half delirious and wishing life were over. No, you'd have to be fit, a little tired and muscle-weary perhaps, like soccer players at the end of a match, but keen to give the game a final crack. Already, I'm adding up my own extra time. Over the past 4 decades, I've had cause to ring Telstra or Westpac about 10 times a year. They keep me waiting an average of, say, 30 minutes. That's 300 minutes a year multiplied by 40 years, which equals 12,000 minutes or 200 hours. Imagine the thrill of being given 200 extra hours there on your deathbed, knowing that it's extra time. There's nothing to lose. You can just throw everything you've got at it. I could take up expensive hobbies or start drinking wine at price levels I'd previously rejected. I might even buy a new $240 shirt from Ted Baker. What happened to the inheritance? My children will be asked. They'll shrug their shoulders. Ah, well, Dad was given extra time. And that's the news from nowhere.
Chris, Tommy and Gary are here. Welcome.
Truth, hey, if we're going to borrow from soccer, what I would like is a substitute.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if you just, like, things aren't quite going well in whatever endeavor you're involved in, you just put your hand up. I get somebody else in here to do this for me, please. I can't finish it. I just can't finish it. That'd be good.
That would be good.
I would like that. Or I would like to see more yellow cards in life. I think that would be fun, too. Like that, I would say to people, it's less offensive. You know, you say, look, that was rude, what you did to me. And then, bam, you just yellow card them.
Yeah. Well, the public can yellow card each other.
And they just know, all right, now they have to worry. And they're like, well, if that happens again, then I'm on a red card and I'm suspended.
Yeah.
And they can't carry on.
And if anything goes wrong, you just take a fake tumble, don't you?
Oh, that'd be great, too. Yeah. I think there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn from soccer.
Let's check you up with this week's news. Whose checkouts are checking out when it comes to charging more? What's this about?
Well, this is about our two big supermarket chains, which I won't name, but let's call them Woolworths and Coles.
Let's call them Billy and Ian. Billions. The Billion Brothers.
The Billion Coles. Well, they've just announced that their profits have gone up 5%.
Both of them.
But get this, and I don't know if it's with, I'm not sure which one, but theft has gone up 20%. Which is extraordinary. That's, I mean, they're impressive results. I mean, they should release like a 5-star, you know, theft rating. Just, you know, capitalize on it and promote it. You know, like, why wouldn't you? It's like, you know, if you're going to steal, come to our supermarket. We get all the best ratings, you know. It kind of makes sense. And I can understand it.
Yeah, the flawed food people.
I love shopping at Woolworths. Their aisles are really wide and they've got the security's really slack. Just allows me to swipe everything. I love it. I go back every week. I mean, in a way, I reckon they encourage it a bit because you know how they have those free bins, which are free fruit for kids, right? Mm. Which is, you know, a fine line. But, I mean, those kids grow up thinking that things, you can just take things. Mm. So what I do is I put all my groceries in the free bin and get my son to drag it outside.
Handy,
yeah.
Well, the mistake is, I think, you know, is trying to get it out the door. I think a lot of people, the real fine line as far as I'm concerned with grocery shopping is when is it theft? Right. Like, it's clear that you can't, like, just pick up a packet of something and walk out the door. Clearly you stole it. But say, for example, you wanted to be sure the grapes you were about to buy were good.
That's true.
How many can you taste to make a decision?
Yeah.
They don't seem to be mad at one.
What about if you're trying to check that the fillet steak that you're about to purchase is good, so you take an electric fry pan and...
And they sell those too, so why can't I get two for one, check the pan and the steak? I don't like either one of them.
Invite your friends as well.
Like what happens if, say, I like dill pickles, so I pick up a jar of dill pickles, which I fully intend to purchase, but it slips out of my hand and crashes to the ground. It's now just glass and pickles on the floor. They're just going to sweep it up and throw it away. Can I have some pickles? What if I drop the pickles and my ham and the bread all at the same time? Is it okay to have a sandwich?
Well, you could eat all the pickles, then drop the jar and say, oh, thank God it was empty.
Yeah. I'm just saying, the sound of a full jar smashing is an exquisite oral enjoyment.
Do you think the fact that they've closed down all the proper checkouts and forcing everybody to scan their own vegetables might have something to do with the increase in theft?
Oh, 100%. Sure. Because it's not just, and again, I don't think people necessarily walk into that situation wanting to steal. I think it's fair to assume that some of the groceries are your wages for doing the job. That seems fair. Yeah. And then secondly, they still have the machine, which is more annoying than it is ever meant to be. Like, I'll tell you, this is exactly the moment I hate, is when you put your bag in the bag area and the machine says there is an unexpected item in the bagging area. And it's the most expected item that should be there. Yeah. It's a bag machine. I put a bag in the bagging area. Of course it's there, and you should expect that.
I just think people are annoyed that the explanation supermarkets give for, like, increasing prices in things is stuff like, oh, the war in the Ukraine, right? Yeah. And how am I going to do the research to prove that that's not true, you know? And wouldn't you love, like, as an individual to just go, I'm going to be charging 25% more for my labour because of the war in the Ukraine, you know? But we can never do that. Yeah. And so, of course...
But they can.
Yeah, they can, because then we're all just bamboozled by it. You know, and also food is essential, you know. Unfortunately, our services generally aren't, especially in the arts, you know.
It's hard to say that stand-up comedy act is going to be more expensive because of the war in Ukraine.
I'm going to give
it a shot. Because we are now inspired by a comedian who is leading the war in Ukraine.
That's right.
We might be your country's next war leaders.
Or shrink.
You better reward us properly if you don't want to get on the jet.
Or shrinkflation is another thing they're doing, right? Yep. So they're selling products in smaller sizes for the same price. I would like to do like 25% less work for the same money, but I think I'd just have to be a bloke.
Okay. We interrupt this broadcast.
Let's check more from this week's news. Who, much like a parent, tends to ground those with whom he disagrees. Grounded. Who was grounded?
Well, this is the story of the mercenary group leader from the Wagner
Yevgeny Prigozhin.
Yes.
Prigozhin.
You should just take a run-up at
precaution.
It.
Yeah, yeah. You should have taken more precaution.
This is, look, yes, of course, he's probably been, I mean, are we allowed to say allegedly?
Well, I think he's been killed by Putin. Yeah, I think
Wow, we can just say that without really? Like a court.
I thought it was gravity. Are you sure it wasn't gravity?
I did journalism a long time ago.
I mean, Putin may have asked gravity and made some concessions to it, but gravity at the end of the day.
What I love about this story is this guy was a hot dog king.
Yeah. That's how he made his fortune.
You know, and
St. Petersburg hot dogs.
I did not know of Russia as the country where you could really make your small business into like an oligarchy. You know, what a great thing. You know,
but an inspiration to us all.
It is an inspiration.
There is a warmonger and a thug who made Putin look.
Yeah.
But it's also a reminder to be careful of how you talk to the guy at Bunnings when you're getting your sausage.
The next moment he's invading you.
Your car explodes as you're driving out of the car park. I mean, that's why. I mean, Vladimir is called Putin for a reason.
Mm.
Putin him in the ground. Putin him in the coffin. That lady in the audience just laughs so hard.
Laugh number 12.
Putin him.
Yeah. Don't laugh at Putin. Look what happens to people who do.
Yeah, Putin's probably just randomly selecting, put on 702 ABC. I want to see what's funny. Oh, who's this Gary Eck? Blow his car up.
He's got a beautiful voice.
He's got a beautiful voice, yeah.
I like how he came out, Putin came out and acted, you know, like, oh, that's sad. Mm. Like that.
He gave his commiserations today.
Very sad, very, very, very surprising. What an unlucky turn of events. It's so cold. Like, it's hard to make fun, but also so easy to make fun because it's so cold. And what I feel the most sorry for, and I don't actually know who the whole list was, but surely there were some people on that plane that when they got on probably should have registered. Wait a minute, is that? Oh, my God.
I might get a commercial flight.
I think I left something in the Qantas lounge. I need to go back. I'll get the next flight.
But he's one of a number of people. There are all these generals who have fallen out of windows, for instance. Again, gravity is a terrible problem
in Russia. Yeah. It's very serious. It's creepy. It's just, I just think it's deeply, deeply creepy.
Is anyone that sad about this guy?
No. But it's like one mafia boss knocking off another mafia boss.
It is a bit.
The fact that it's a question is kind of answers that, yeah. We can talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but you tried to be subtle about it. I mean, I think there comes a point where if you are a murderous dictator, you can only be subtle for so long.
Is Putin a dad?
He's got like 100 children.
Does he?
Yeah.
Do we know what kind of dad he is?
Well, I think he grounds his children.
Mm. Does he?
Well, he grounds everybody else. Why not? Who delivered some old news this week? Who delivered some old news?
This is... Well, this is interesting. They've now the government's released a intergenerational report, which sounds very impressive, which basically reveals in the next 40 years Australia is going to get hotter, bigger and older.
Hotter and older.
Hotter
that's
and older, yeah.
Me and a pair of sluggos, mate.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
It's a very alarming sight.
That's right. A lot of Richard Glovers in the next 40 years. Well, older will double and there will be something like triple the number of people between 85 and older.
Yeah.
Which is a lot more. It's really, because it's interesting because, you know, during like, I don't know how this is going to play out with technology just on the boom. That, like, in the 80s, the running joke was, my dad can't even program a VCR. Which is kind of like, well, what's going to happen? It's going to be all these older people. They're going to have absolutely no idea. I don't know what the running joke will be in like 40 years' time. Ugh, my dad. He doesn't even know how to use neural telepathy. Honestly, Dad, that's the hypothalamus. You got to use your cerebral cortex. Come on, program it properly. Oh my God, you're so embarrassing.
Apparently, we're moving to a care economy, and I think that's terrifying because I've never seen a generation of humans care less than sort of, you know, myself and younger. You know, I mean, it's going to be hard. caring for people when we've just had our heads in our phones for 20 years.
Mm. I know. The sight of me and a pair of sluggos, it'll soften your heart.
Oh, yeah.
You'll say, can you dab your hot forehead?
Well, that'll be conversation will be all the same. It'll just be the entire country walking around going, oh, geez, is it hot enough for you? Oh, bloody hell, it's hot. It's hot, isn't it? Oh, it's hot, mate. Oh, it's hot. I can't remember it being hotter. I remember a time it was hotter. Do you? I don't know. What were we talking about? How hot is it? So hot.
Australia.
And WheatPix will get a comeback. So that's good. That'd be nice. It'd be
40 million people. For 40 million people. There'll be 40 million Australians.
How do they know that for certain?
Well, they just...
I mean, that's just a guess.
They look at your fecundity.
What did you call me?
Wait.
Come on outside, Richard.
40, it's going to double. It's going to basically
40 years, it's a long time away.
Yeah, I mean, I could have guessed that anyway. I mean, 40 years, of course it's going
to
double.
We have Chris Ryan, who's playing the Factory Theatre from September 27 to October 1. Tommy is on, next Thursday, Saturday and Sunday?
Thursday, August 31st, Saturday the 2nd, Thursday, next Thursday, next Saturday, next Sunday. Oh, okay. At the Factory Theatre. In the Fuse Box Room as part of the Sydney Fringe Festival.
Very good. It's very good.
Very good.
Excellent. Now,
Gary's not doing it at all.
No, that's right.
But where will you go?
Where will I go?
Now, in the UK, the government is spending nearly £1 million to promote the playing of chess, arguing that it will help the nation develop numeracy and logic. What games and pastimes do you think should be receiving a government grant, and what are the useful skills that can be learned from playing them? Tommy Dean.
It's about time. It's about time that board gamers were noted and valued. Mm-hmm. Also, what numeracy is in chess? There's none.
Well, you've got to count the squares.
And... Oh,
well,
you
also, the pieces have numbers
Job
associated
done.
With
Oh, if you want to get into chess
I'm
notation.
Actually really into chess.
Boring.
I took it up during COVID.
It's not numeracy. You just use some numbers and letters. You could use cows and chickens.
I'm absolutely addicted to chess online.
Yeah, it's good. I'm it's not saying like it's not a, good. A little I'm just confused about the numeracy, but I don't want to take away from the grand game of chess. By the way, it's been solved. Computers will beat us forever. Give it up. That's why it should not be studied anymore by humans. We can't win.
But couldn't computers beat us at Monopoly? Or
oh, Squadron? No. Monopoly is designed to defeat you. What you want to do is get into the modern board gaming world. You want to invest the money into games like Through the Ages, A Story of Civilization. That's a game you should study to see how leadership over a long era of time can be done peacefully. But if you start the warmongering, someone else will start the warmongering. So many
lessons. Has anyone else heard of this game?
No one's heard of this game. No.
One person.
No. Right. Who's
heard of Squatter? Yes!
But this is my point. If we invest, we will bring the people to us. Remember how 30 years ago we didn't think women knew how to play soccer? And now look what's happened. And now millions of people are watching.
It's a very similar situation.
Right now, there are 6 people listening to this radio that went, oh my God, he said Through the Ages. I can't believe it. I feel so seen.
I wouldn't mind seeing government grants for naps, to be honest, Richard.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
That would help the nation.
I know they talk about sleep hygiene and you shouldn't nap, but I just don't believe them.
Do you go for the disco nap, which only lasts 5 minutes, or do you go for the major nap?
I want an hour.
That's the full siesta, right?
Yeah, I want an hour. I want to feel like I need to keep sleeping when I wake up. Like, that's when I know that my consciousness has gone to sleep.
Yeah. Mm. You want to feel slightly groggy and feel pretty terrible for the rest of the day?
Pretty much. I mean, I have two states, awake or relaxed. I can't be both, you know? So give me sleep.
Yeah.
Combine them. Combine your sleep studies with investment in Scrabble. And now there's no more downtime while your wife spends 18 minutes trying to figure out how to put 6 consonants together. That's how it works perfectly. Works perfectly. She'll just keep, as she rotates, you just go, oh, have a little nap. Tell me when you're done. Oh, you're refreshed. She still hasn't played a word, but you're happy.
Okay, you can play Scrabble with a timer, you know.
Well, you can.
Yeah.
You can, but now we have a napper. Now it works out even better. That's what I think.
Gary, the British are investing in chess. They think it's going to revolutionize the nation. What other games?
Well, I actually do like chess. I think it actually increases creativity. And I'll tell you a story. This is a true story. I was on a cruise ship and I went for walk early in the morning and they had one of these giant outdoor chess sets, you know, those big ones. And someone had reserved a deck chair with the horse. They'd gone and... They'd gone and picked up the horse and put it on the deck chair, right? That was brilliant. I didn't do it, Richard, but I so wanted to remove the horse and then lie down holding the bishop.
So when they come back and they go, hey, that's my deck chair, I go, ah, Bishop takes knight, get your own, all right? Get out of here. It would have been perfect. So, yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, those kind of games are good, but I think we also need physical games. I think they're more important. Like, you know, I think a 9 a.m. team meet and thumb wrestle is key. You know, strong thumbs. If you ever hitchhike and there's no cars, you need a good strong thumb, Richard, to keep going.
So Rishi Sunak should put £1 million into that.
Wrestling, yeah.
Sure,
wrestling.
No, I think texting is really texting, brought thumbs into
it,
fore.
I do text with my thumbs.
Yeah, it really brought it back.
Yeah, that's why I practice thumb wrestling.
You can pay people to meditate. I mean, because there's not enough to motivate me to do it by myself. If I got paid, I'd give it a good crack.
Meditate.
Know? Yeah. They say it's good for you. Do you do it, Richard?
No.
You don't?
No.
You strike me as someone who would.
No, I try one arm and then I'm asleep.
That's the thing. That's what happens.
Fuck you. Are we ready for the wheel of death, ladies and gentlemen?
Oh, yeah.
Are we ready for the wheel of death? Our lovely audience here have thrown these random topics onto this wheel of death. And, of course, if you want to join the audience here, all you need to do is put ABC TGIF into your short search engine and you will find a way of grabbing your free tickets to come along to the ABC in Ultimo and be part of Thank God It's Friday. Today's topics are local pub, schooner, panic, rum, hair gel, ocean, taxpayer, HSC, celery, shoelace, piano and fairy and surfboard and synthetic. Which ones fill you full of fear, Tommy?
The board taken as a whole sounds like a weird poem to the local pub.
Okay.
It's got everything in it.
It's got the piano, hasn't it?
Yeah, local pub. You got your schooner, a little bit of panic, rum, of course.
Yeah.
Moving around, the taxpayer is certainly benefiting from the benefits of the poker machines out the back. And shoelaces being tied.
Synthetic.
Surfboards over the bar. Synthetic. I don't know what synthetic.
And some rum being served.
That's
exactly.
The nature of the soup.
Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Today's topic for Tommy Dean from the Wheel of Death is... rum. Rum. Who suggests rum? Thank you.
That was fun, though. Rum. You hear that slight anxiety. I hope it's hair gel. I bet Tommy has stuff to say about hair gel. He looks like he used to use that quite a bit.
Yeah.
I have a feeling he doesn't know anything about rum, except that Captain Morgan makes a good one. I know that.
You're not a big drinker, though, are you?
Not a drinker at all. But one of my favorite, I say that because there's a whiskey bar in Dubbo that they did some comedy there for a while. May still do. And they had this cool system where they would you would buy a very expensive bottle of rum or whiskey and put it in their green room and it would be locked up, and when you arrived they would go and get it out of your, it's like a safe deposit box.
Okay, well you'd pick it up 1 month and then the next month and
like leave it there and then you'd come back and pay a corkage charge and they'd serve you this fancy whiskey. It was your whiskey. But these kids that came to the show had locked up a bottle of Captain Morgan rum. And I just didn't have the heart to tell them that maybe that was not what the whiskey bar was pushing for. As far as high end. But man, Captain Morgan, it sticks in my head because I don't know if you drink it here. I think we called it a hot toddy. I don't know if it was a hot buttered rum. Hot buttered rum is a very big Christmas drink in America. And it's basically ice cream that's mixed with brown sugar and a variety of your classic spices. Your cloves, your cinnamon, and it's mixed together and then with butter. Yeah. So it's ice cream, butter, spices. Yeah. And that forms the base. And you put like a scoop of this in the jar with hot water and a shot of rum.
Does that explain the slightly constipated look on the face of Donald Trump in that mugshot?
Yes. I am saying it is a deeply... It basically means kill me because it's Christmas. If you can't put up with the joy of the holiday season, if the kids are driving you crazy, just get one of these into you and you're not going anywhere. It's so good. It is so good. I like that... rum's the only one I know because we drank it a lot as kids.
Well, it's associated with pirates, of course, isn't it?
Pirates always had rum. But my dad always had rum, and that was the alcohol, but he bought it in like gallon jugs, which I learned later is always a sign that you're not dealing with premium alcohol. It seems like the bigger the bottle that comes in, the worse it is. Like the first time I saw a box of wine, I thought, how convenient. So much wine in a box. But then I realized my mistake. I used to steal my dad's gallon jar of rum and sneak down to the park. And then, you know, we thought that we'd going to get drunk. Oh, we'll get drunk. It'd be so exciting. We're like 12. Whoa, when we're like, Dad talks about getting drunk. We're going to get drunk. And we get down there and like one sip. And then you're like, ew, this is what drunk is. I don't want it. It's the worst. We spent more. We had more fun spitting fire. You know, you like aerialize the rum and then spit it through fire and make more fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I think about it. I shouldn't tell the kids that. I used to flambe a lot when I was in culinary school.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So flambe.
Well, like crepe Suzette. When
yeah. Oof, that was good fun. But all of alcohol. Like I was excited about rum when I came here because, of course, it was how you were founded, if I understand my Australian history. Yep. Mm. Properly.
Yep.
A bunch currency, of people yeah. came on a boat, and then they were like, oh, we should go home. And they went, no, look, we have a bunch of rum. We should stay. Yay!
Well, rum was the currency, basically.
Yeah.
And rum was the currency in the early colony, and the system worked fine. People were paid in rum, and then they'd go and they'd buy rum using more rum. But the trouble was
they bought rum with rum.
They bought rum with rum, but they couldn't work out how to do change. That was the problem.
And that's where shot glasses came in.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the change.
Yeah. Rum and Coke was the... Yeah.
Well, that sounds like some sort of interest rise, or something where they're devaluing the currency. You know, if you start mixing the Coke with the rum, it still looks like rum, but now you have a lesser currency.
Yeah, that's
true. And this is a true story. The first brewery in Australia is built in Sydney, and it's built by the government in order to try to save things by decreasing the amount of rum drinking by offering them beer instead. That went well, didn't it? Mm.
But rum is a sugar alcohol. It's
made from sugar cane, right?
Yeah, so that's why Queensland is so loved. I'm assuming. That was like how it worked. I'm sure you were, oh, no, we're out of rum. We have to make more money. So then the cane fields kicked up, and that became like your central bank.
Yeah.
Is that how it worked?
Yeah.
And then they made more rum.
Now, all Australian history is able to be described and analyzed through alcohol.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like a magic time. I don't even know why you wouldn't want to work.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they took it off the salary packaging.
But imagine robbing a bank, you know, trying to get away with all the rum.
Yeah, it'd be so hard.
Quick, rum! Rum for your life!
Was it barreled?
Yeah.
Yeah, rum barrel?
Yeah. Hand over all the barrels of rum.
Coopers? Get your Coopers going?
And the soldiers were all called the Rum Corps because they ran the rum business.
So the Rum Corps...
Yeah.
I always thought the Rum Corps was like the police.
They're the soldiers from the British soldiers. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought there was a rum ration. Rum ration, I thought, would be a great name for a dog.
Here, rum ration.
Rum ration. Rum ration. Give me a rum. Rum him. Rum ration.
Well, you've also got those dogs with which save people in the snow with the rum in the little barrel.
Yeah, those are St. Bernards. Yeah. They care. Well, you know, they say that, but, you know, I don't know if you know, those dogs are alcoholics.
You go to that bar in Dublin, they put them in the...
Just for them. Like, their heads are so full of helium. Crazy. I think my point is, this is a country that should love its rum more than Captain Morgan.
Yeah, than Captain Morgan.
Is what I'm getting at. You need a better one. Is there a better one?
Bundaberg.
Yeah.
Queensland. I knew it would come back around. I kept thinking about the polar bear. That's what I was trying the whole time. Yeah. I was going, you even imported polar bears.
Just to sell the rum.
Yes.
So thank God it's Friday.
Thank God it's Friday with Richard Glover.
Does he die, ladies and gentlemen?
No.
Does he live?
He gets a rum.
Phew.
I feel like I will get a less rum ration this time around, though.
Interesting, though. You guys know a lot about rum. Richard, especially.
Well, the other thing about Australian history is this is true, too.
Yeah,
The first vineyards were nearly all run by reverend gentlemen who were, again, and they would. You can read their prospectuses. They would advertise their prospectuses saying, help me start a vineyard in Victoria. My aim is to help the Christian souls of this new colony get off the rum. So what we're going to do is we're going to invest all this money into vines, and we're going to grow all this wine, and we're going to give all the people lots of wine, and that will save them from alcoholism. And just like the pub, it didn't work out too well.
But it's always been. I mean, all alcohol like, comes back to, I mean, Bill Bryson talks about it a lot, and you know, lots of those local pastors and religious people, they had the whole week Like, you were hired to be the local pastor, so you worked on Sunday, and then the other 6 days, you did things like study grass and raise flowers and invent alcohol.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Monks invented all kinds of alcohol.
Yeah.
That's why they call it the angel's share. Yeah, there's all this religious language around alcohol. I mean, Jesus was one of the original vineyard guys.
Yeah, turning water into wine.
Yeah, bam.
Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah.
Very handy to have.
And would you like...
I'm a little shocked they didn't go into that more. Like, they didn't talk about it once in the Bible. You're like, no, a lot more stories would be involved.
Yeah. And would you like a bit of fish with that?
Yeah. He was so good.
Yeah.
So good. He could just anything. It's a good thing for us that he went when he did. I mean, if he stuck around, I'm saying prices would plummet.
Mm.
If everybody had Jesus' powers.
He was pre-Pino, that was
there. Yeah. I mean, Dan Murphy's trying to be a modern-day Jesus. But he's just not doing it the same way.
On Thank God It's Friday, before we go any further, we're with Chris Ryan, Tony Dean, Gary Eck, and our wonderful audience. Thank you. Artificial intelligence, I read this week, can now read people's thoughts. This is according to a new study. The machine was able to reproduce a recognisable version of the musical track the human volunteers had been played. It was Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall, as it happened, guided only by the flickering activity of their brain cells as read by the AI. Now that AI can read your thoughts, what are the thoughts you are most worried will now be publicly revealed? Chris Ryan.
Oh, dear. Any of them, really. But, you know, when someone supposedly important gets introduced to you and you're meant to be listening to them and care what they have to say, that's probably the toughest one that I'd want to keep hidden because, you know, they can help you if you pretend to care.
You just nod and pretend you know who they
are. Yeah, but it's terrifying, the idea that the AI can watch your flickering eyes. My eyes flicker all the time, you know, because I'm thinking 17 things when people speak. But also, if you find someone attractive, I think best to keep that to yourself, you know. You don't want that getting out, you know.
It could work well for you.
I'm not sure about that.
Are you worried, Gary Eck, that AI can now read your thoughts, read human thoughts just by the electrical activity in the brain?
It's very scary. I mean, not just the technology, but the fact that they can now release remixes of Taylor Swift based on Jeff from Padstow's brain.
Yeah. He's here, by the way.
He's there. Jeff, great remix, by the way. I read it up. I actually listened to it. Have you listened to it? It's quite incredible. It does sound like Pink Floyd's The Wall. Like, it's amazing what they've done. I mean, I don't know if AI was reading my thoughts, I mean, I'd hope to think it was going to read and say, you know, and reveal stuff like, you know, me thinking, you know, how does Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor go again? But in reality, I think would come out, baby shark, do, baby hot potato. Yeah, yeah. It'd be pretty tragic.
I want food.
Me hungry. There would be a lot of that guy just fell on his face. That's pretty funny. Sucked in.
Tommy's father's big quart bottle of rum sounds good.
me rum now. Me drink rum. I know. I reckon there'd be a lot of like just engage signals if you're kind of, you know, just. Gary's mind is busy thinking. Please leave a detailed message and he'll get back to you once he's thought about where he left his keys.
I don't know how it works, because I even when I was thinking about this piece, I don't, like, thoughts aren't really coherent. I don't really sit in some sort of Shakespearean soliloquy in my mind as I'm working something out. I think if I were just to quietly let my mind go, if you could take it, it would be hard to hear it in individual thoughts because they overlap. But generally, if I were to give you right now, if I just were to pause and let you inside my mind, why is my toe itchy? The run thing went all right. I wonder what character Patrick's playing in Baldur's 3. I'm playing a monk. I got to get back to that. I don't know how to use a featherfall spell yet, but I'm going to get to that. We should talk more about board games. That would have been good. I wish I had a coffee earlier. I don't have enough water. My toe is still itchy. Boobs.
Wow. I'm so glad we can't hear his thoughts. It's bad enough when we actually hear his speech. You know, like...
It's all just competing. Yeah. Oh, my God, I got to go to work tomorrow. What am I going to do at work tomorrow? I like work. I got to get paid today. How much money do I have? That guy doesn't take cash.
Can I jump
sorry,
in?
Sorry, are these your
enough.
Thoughts?
Like, we absolutely have had enough of that. Richard.
Chris Ryan's annoying me. I don't know why she thinks so. She's going to be my friend.
It has
don't,
to stop.
Don't you like the idea of the AI machine which they've logged into Tommy's mind and the AI machine just blows up and says, I cannot bear it any longer.
Yeah, shut up, Tommy.
I asked AI to write a joke for a corporate gig that I had about agriculture.
Yeah.
And it was atrocious. Like, it was so cringe. It was like, my dad's jokes are heaps funnier than this joke. And I read it out, you know, just as a demonstration of how bad it was. And then I read one that was an edgy one that I'd written, and I said that the computer had written it. But when it got a laugh, I said, don't worry about it, I wrote that one.
All right, that
I was just going to blame it on the AI because you can blame it.
It's asking
it on
a lot to write a joke about agriculture, though, isn't it?
Well, it was terrible. It was about agri-tech, so technology in the agriculture. And it was like...
So you just explain what agri-tech means?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh,
Tommy's brain right now.
Well, she took two words and smashed them together and then made it like we didn't understand how she just did that. It's like edutainment. Were you edutaining us?
It was... And the punchline of the joke was something like, it's like koalas using a drone. Australians using technology in agriculture is like koalas using a drone. I'm like, you guys, seriously... Don't rely on this for your agriculture, you know?
There is a joke, but that's a good punchline, though.
Yeah.
I don't know what the setup is yet, but it's like a koala using a drone. That works for me.
Does it?
Yeah. I mean, like, imagine
that. Is that
like
your inside
koala.
Thought
like,
imagine or your
a koala.
Outside?
Think about it just for a second. Like a koala sitting all stoned up in his tree, and then like he's all like, he barely has a thumb, but then he's got a drone, and he's flying it, and he's having fun.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's so good.
It's for, like, primary school?
I'm just saying the koala's having fun.
Yeah. Oh, okay, great.
Get some eucalyptus leaves.
Yeah, he's so good. Getting shots down. Maybe I can move over there. That's what you think.
Oh, no, we're getting the monologue again. You have to intervene.
You have to intervene. We have to move on.
We
have to move on. Please save us from the AI machines with Chris Ryan, Tommy Dean and Gary Eck and our lovely audience. Thank you. Now, let me squeeze in a last question. A teacher who tried to help a student by suggesting a new learning plan was forced to, this is true, was forced to write a letter of apology to the child because the advice had stressed out the child. Then the child complained to their parents and the parents complained to the principal, so the teacher had to write a letter of apology. What are the letters of apology you'd like to receive from your teachers? Gary Eck.
Yeah, I mean, I think something like, "Dear Gary, I hope this letter finds you well because I haven't been able to find you after you ruined my life." sorry, no, that's the wrong letter. "Dear Gary, by the way, Gary, that R on the end of dear should be a D. You're dead, Gary. I'm coming for you." This principal is so persistent. Honestly, he's been chasing me all my life. Look, to be honest, I don't really have any reason for a teacher to apologize.
Were you a good boy, were you?
I was a good boy, and I think they were good teachers. Mm. I mean, even if they did write and apologize, I don't even remember their names. I'd be going, who's this?
You must remember your favorite teacher.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, a couple of them. But they were good. They were good. So it's weird. I can't think of anything to kind of, why would they apologize?
Chris Ryan, do they need to apologize to you, Chris?
I've got one.
Yeah.
And it would go like this. "Dear Chris, when you did flash dance in year six at lunchtime, I'm sorry I didn't ring Fame School."
Yeah.
True story.
Still holding.
I'm sorry I didn't make a bigger deal out of it and get you to do it at assembly.
Or at least young talent time.
Yeah.
At least that. Tommy, would the letters, what letter do you need?
I mean, my
you?
Science teacher. My science teacher, I'd like to get a letter from him. His name was Mr. Jackson. We used to call him Jack Jackson, and he would always say, "My name is not Jack, it's Bill." "Well, Jack Jackson." He thought that was fun. But he would write and he'd say, "Dear Tommy, I just want you to understand that as much as you wanted to just once in your science career get a 100% on a test, and you did come close to it once with that 96%, at the time it was the general consensus of the scientific community that Pluto was a planet." So given that the question was name all of the planets and you did not put Pluto down, was obviously, as I see now, your obvious intelligence looking forward to the understanding of what Pluto would eventually be classified as. But at the time, it was convention, And we apologize for that.
Yeah. You, Tommy, were ahead of your time.
So ahead of my time.
Are these your inner thoughts, by the way? Because I can't tell.
Who were the winners and losers of this week? Chris Ryan.
Loser for me was Google Maps that sent me on a really crazy route home the other night. I caught the bus over to where there's heaps of roadwork near. I don't even know. There's near some. I went across the Anzac Bridge, mm-hmm. and there's heaps of road. And it was nighttime, and I'm walking through construction sites.
That's called West Connects. That's the thrusting, exciting project of the New South Wales government. It's not just some bit of construction.
Okay. Well, it sucks at night, I'll tell you that much, as a pedestrian. And so I walked over to the to the light rail to get home to Dulwich Hill, and the whole thing was a nightmare. And all these construction workers were just staring at me like, are you lost? I'm like, Google Maps. But then the winner... I went out in my local neighbourhood, and I'm going to rep Dulwich Hill again. I went to a wine and cheese bar and to a jazz bar to see live jazz for the first time in my life, all within walking distance. And look, I'm
what
a
was there? Was there jats involved?
Jats.
As well as jazz?
Wine and cheese and jazz club.
Okay, I see. We're being clever, right? I don't do clever. Well, I'm just telling you facts here, mate. I'm a journo.
It should be called a jazz and jazz club.
Hey,
who were the
what? Butcher's Brew Bar. Butcher's That's Brew. It. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Who were the winners and losers, Gary?
I'm going to say Donald Trump is the loser. I mean, you alluded to earlier about his mugshot. The first president of America to have his mugshot taken. And it's horrendous. I don't know if you've seen it. It's the worst mugshot ever. And the funny thing is, before they released it, people were releasing mock mugshots of Donald Trump. And the real one was worse. Like people couldn't believe it. It's like, oh, my God, we cannot actually... His real one was horrendous. And he's the first president to get hair and makeup before a mugshot. And with his colour, I don't know where they're going to send him if he's convicted to Orange County Jail.
Winners and losers, Tommy, quickly.
That's what I was going to say. I thought the big winner was Georgia to get a whole television show out of watching former President Trump marched down to be clocked in. And I thought the loser was, again, Donald Trump, because we finally proved when they took his fingerprints that he does have very tiny hands. He got all of his fingers in only two squares. So tidy.
Please thank Chris Ryan, Tommy Dean, and Gary Eck. Thank you for being part of Thank God It's Friday. Remember, you too can join our live studio audience. Just ABC TGIF into your search engine. Next week, Rebecca De Unamuno, Tommy Dean and Tahir. Music from the James Valentine Band. Until then, I'm Richard Glover, and thank God it's Friday!